It amazed me, some of these students, there weren't a lot of them, but they were just absolutely convinced that you could lose your salvation. And I have run across quite a few that were very knowledgeable about the Bible, and they would use the scriptures out of context, but to the people that heard them and listened to them and accepted it, they liked it. And it always bothered me, because I knew from an early beginning you couldn't lose your salvation. And I understood that it was eternal and permanent. There were some things about it that I didn't completely understand, but I picked them up along the way from other people that understood more about them than I did. But he said, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. He tells them in Luke, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore shall be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give the light. One of the reasons that I know, am absolutely certain, that I have the light of Christ in me is because he bothers me when I don't let the light shine and I don't pay attention to what other people say and I stop learning about myself and I stop learning about him. But when Jesus appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, who do you think was the brightest? Well, I'll just let you answer that question. But I have run into problems with Missionary Baptists since I left the seminary. And when I went there, there was a very strong teaching that I had been taught before, had known from the time I was a teenager. And it involved the Lord descending into the lower parts of the earth. And it blended in perfectly with what I believed. And it helped me to understand God's plan of grace. But when you receive God's plan of grace, then this time comes when you start obeying what you've learned. And so when I say I'm saved by grace, I don't mean that I didn't repent toward God. And I don't mean that I didn't put my faith in the Son. I believed that he was the Son of God. But I didn't understand it with great clarity, but I knew it was true. And so I didn't really understand why all of a sudden, after I got baptized, I started understanding things in a much better manner, but it didn't have anything in the world to do with salvation. Because I've had a lot of help on that as I went along. I understand the Beatitudes a lot better. But I knew what was happening inside me. I knew how I had the light. And there was just a lot I had to understand. And here I am my age and I'm still learning. If thy whole body be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Of a candle, it means lamp. It has a fuel supply inside it. And the fuel was not refined. And because it was not refined, it put out a long white tail. And that was one of the reasons that I'm certain that the star that hits the earth is a comet. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever about it. But it fits perfectly. And God put it in there. I don't know anybody else that controlled a comet. and so as the bright shining of a candle which doth give thee light. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled at something, that he had not first washed before dinner. I believe that this Pharisee was probably kin to Imogene. And I know that, right, Robert? And I know he was definitely kin to Terry, because that's the first question I get asked, did you wash your hands? And then I say, yeah. And I start eating, and I say, but I picked my nose after that. So it's just hard. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. He said, ye fools, did not he that made thee that which is without made that which is within thee? So when I was saved, I accepted his grace, because I had been praying and praying and praying, and finally I just gave up. And when I gave up, suddenly something happened. I'm not going to sing the Elvis Presley song, but because I'm not as dramatic as he is, but something happened, and it happened inside me, and it was like a light had come on. And the emotion inside me, I had emotion, but the emotion was that I understood. Now, I understood then. And then when I started obeying the Lord, when I got baptized, that was another exciting time in my life. It was, of course, well after I was saved. And when I came up here and started pastoring this church, and I started learning more about Jesus and the church and Landmarkism, and God began to teach me, a lot of things became a whole lot clearer. Now in Luke 12, 1 through 10, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch as they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. When we arrive in heaven, and we're there, and if we do retain enough of memory to notice that there's a lot of people that aren't there, that we were church members, and a lot of people that I knew that I thought were saved, we won't have to sit and wonder what happened, because they're not there. But I rather think that I don't mind God taking away my memory of this life at all. I used to have a feeling there won't be anything left of me. Well, praise God for that. I don't want anything left of me. I don't want anything that ever that has thoughts in me that are not nice. I don't want to lose my temper. I want to be like he is. Of course, I don't want to be as powerful as he is, and I don't want to be in charge. I just want to be his servant. And so the Pharisees were always trying to get in charge, get in power. First New Testament church, when they first started following Jesus, and during his ministry, they tried to argue about, oh, they didn't get around him and argue about it, but they would walk a ways behind him, and they would argue about who was in the kingdom of God. You know, I'm acutely aware that every thought I think God knows. And I was so relieved when the Apostle Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to tell us he knew that the Scripture was marvelous, wonderful. He knew that it was marvelous, but he said he was sold under sin. Well, he came to learn that. I came to learn that I was sold under sin. You say, did you learn that before you were saved? Yeah. But I didn't understand it as well as I do now after I was baptized. I used to say constantly when I first came up here that when Christ's blood was shed on Calvary, that all those Old Testament saints, well, those many, it says many, because a lot of people there didn't know them, they were way back before. I didn't know that Daniel was still standing in his lot, and I didn't understand what happened. I didn't understand about a lot of things. I believe I do now. And it answers a whole lot of questions I had. I'm going to talk about that, Lord willing, on Sunday morning. He said, with this innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. I'd sure like to get rid of my hypocrisy. I'd love it. I'd love to get rid of it. You say, you mean, Brother McMurray, that you know the law is spiritual, but you still realize that you're sold under sin? But now you understand who paid for you, who paid the blood debt for you. Well, how'd you learn that? He taught me. And now I understand other things about him that I didn't understand. How'd I learn them? He taught me. And there were lots of things that I've learned that show me what a hypocrite I am. I don't want you to know everything I think. You say, why? Because it's none of your business. I want you to have a good opinion of me. And I'm not a hypocrite, but I try to love you like I'm supposed to love you. And I can't do that hypocritically. When I tell you I love you, now I love you. I get irritated at you sometimes, but I'm honest with you. And I know you get irritated with me sometimes. You gonna stay awake? Okay. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? Okay. I'll have to speak in a better voice. I'm gonna watch Anna Mae very carefully. She's my thermometer, see how she does. Now, I didn't say anything about you being, I won't say that. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware you the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. The judgment seat of Christ is going to reveal an awful lot. You say, is there any way you can avoid the judgment seat? No. But he won't hold me accountable if, when I have a bad thought, I ask him to forgive me. I'm sure he will. Then he says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I do. You say, well, what if it starts trying to come back? I just forget about it. You say, how are you ever going to learn anything? I've learned it. And then he bothers me the rest of my life about it. But I tell you about him. He lives in me. And he's absolutely good. He's perfect. He's the overcomer. He overcame for me. He gave me his righteousness. You say, you're saying that with great confidence. Yeah, I am. Because that's what the blood was all about. That's what the blood was all about. Do you know that the ancient people all over the world, I've seen some studies conducted on this, found that in every religion of any sort involving Christianity, there was always something involving the blood, the blood, the blood. And I've learned an awful lot about the blood, and I know that it set me free, and I know that after I realized he did that because he loved me and because he had to. Because he is just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. He said, and I say unto you, and that ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. All the people that have been in this church that left for the wrong reason, if that reason was that they weren't saved, and they never would realize how big hypocrites they were, they may never have received Christ. You say, well, would you point them out to us? I can't. So we don't try to. And I've tried to break the habit of doing that. And Chuck's messages have helped me a lot on that. And so, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. The only way I know to live a Christian life is when I get a thought, and don't worry, I know which ones are in darkness and which ones are not. And I am capable of letting the light shine out of me by submission to his will. But I've got to walk with Christ every day. To go to heaven? No. After they receive Christ by repentance toward God and putting their faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, they have, of course, already received his grace. That's what it is. It's in Peter talked about it. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That was God's grace. Those who received it will be in heaven forever. Those who were full of hypocrisy and thought they had light in them, it was darkness. I thank God that he's taught me about grace and understand what happened to me and understand it because he taught me don't move the ancient landmarks and he taught me to keep his commandments. If I try to do either one of those, he bugs the life out of me. Why? Because that's light. And you're not a hypocrite if you try yourself, but you are a hypocrite if you judge other people. And I look at it this way, and I look at it, I think the scriptures teach it. I wait a while before I let people, well, I don't quite know how to put it, so I won't put it. But I know that at the judgment seat of Christ, all this won't be brought up again if I'm walking with him, because it's a constant life of repentance toward God and faith in his Son, the seed, the blood seed. I'm in a body that's made up of flesh and blood. Do you like to be embarrassed? Nobody likes to be embarrassed. Nobody. You say, well, you get rid of that when you get saved. No, you don't. And Chuck's messages have helped me on that. Because I embarrass people sometimes, and that ain't good. I need somebody to preach to me. So I became grateful to God that his dad joined the church, and I was grateful that he joined the church, and all of you all joined the church. Because you understand Landmark. And it's just continually going through life. And when you do something that's wrong, he lets you know it. He lets you know it's wrong. You ask him to forgive you. He does instantly. I used to think maybe I had to keep going a little with it, with the prayer, but he just forgives you instantly. Then you go ahead and you let God take care of the discipline itself, unless it becomes something the church has to take action on. And as a pastor, that's part of my job, to determine from the Scripture when we should and when we shouldn't. How good a job I do, God will judge. How good a job the church does will judge. And I will change my mind on things. I'm teachable. Paul was teachable because you could see that when Paul went along, he confessed that there were some things that he had changed his mind about. And it was God that changed his mind about it. He said, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, that have no more after that they can do." That's all they can do to me. That's why he told us to keep his commandments. And you say, "Well, I don't want to die." Well, I understood that quite well when I was in Vietnam, and I understood that quite well when I was young, and there were a lot of pretty girls in the church and different things. I understood that quite well then. My old body understood that. I didn't want to die right away. I wanted to marry a pretty girl. I did. And God gave her to me. She was the sweetest preacher's wife I've ever known in my entire life. I'm so sorry for some of the things I said to her and took my frustration out on her. I did. And now I loved her. Lord, I loved her. And when I felt her spirit go out of her, but it was her circulation, but I felt it go out of her. I was holding her hand. She said to me, "But I want you to go with me." It just wasn't God's will. And so she and I accepted that. If you've got a good wife, don't think it's because you're good looking or clever or intelligent or a landmarker. Don't think it's because you're someone who understands about grace and salvation. Just be thankful that you didn't deserve her. And thank God every day for her. Because you need a good wife. Lord, you need a good wife. And after you've had her a while, you learn to really respect her. I could say something clever here and really maybe get a chuckle out of it. But I'll tell you, Chuck preaching has helped me. I got no business kidding you all about things. What I should do is what I'm doing right now. Just go down this line by line, verse by verse, and tell you what I've learned and share it with you. Fear him which after he hath power to cast into hell. Fear him which I forewarn you who you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. He doesn't have that power over me anymore. Because when I repented toward God and put my faith in his son, you say, "Well, who's his son?" He called him father, didn't he? You want to know why I never would call him dad? That hurts me inside. I just don't like to call my Heavenly Father, Dad. I hate it. And it's just wrong. He told me how to pray. He told me who to pray to. And he told me not to do it in a way that you just kept repeating the same thing over again. And to be sure and thank him for what he'd done to me. And I say unto you, fear him which hath power to cast into hell. Well, who has power? Well, it says all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. You think I'm going to call him Dad? You say, well, it's a thing of affection. Well, it's much more than that. He teaches you how to love like him. And then one day you won't have that old carnal nature. You'll never be able to love more than he does, but you'll be able to love better than you do right now in this carnal body. He says, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? Farthing's about the lowest you can get. There may be something like a half farthing. I don't even know if that's the case, but a farthing is something the Jews looked upon as the lowest thing you can give. You could get five sparrows for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God. That was one of the things my brother and I got in an argument about. I didn't even know he was mad. I didn't even know we were arguing. And he's a Christadelphian. And he said, that's not what that meant. Well, what it means is that God doesn't sit around thinking about how many hairs there are on my head. He doesn't do that. But the point is, he wouldn't know if he wanted to. That's the whole point of it. And you think I'm going to call somebody like that Dad? I don't know how you pray to him, but I'm telling you, don't call him Daddy or Dad. Amen. Call him Father. Call him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. The point is, you're a lot more valuable than five sparrows, and the sparrows were the cheapest thing. If you were poor, you had to take a sparrow when the child was circumcised. And that was the cheapest thing you could take, lowest price thing. The Pharisees, they wanted to take something that really looked good. They were hypocrites. Have I ever wanted people to know how much I gave? I used to. But no, I don't. Lord, a lot of things change in your life. A lot of things change. You quit doing something to be the greatest, and you finally realize that you're the lowest. And you accept it. You think it's a good idea. Well, how could I know that? Because it's God's idea. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God, the messengers of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. You mean I can cuss Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of David? You mean I can cuss the Son of David, speak a word against him? That was an office that God himself fulfilled. And God fulfilled three offices. Make no mistake about it. The office of the Father, the office of the Son, and the office of the Holy Spirit. And he told him, he said, I go away because I must go away. When God had a plan for man, he had the whole thing planned out beforehand because he's God and he knows everything. And whatsoever he shall speak a word against the Son of Man, the Son of David, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Do you know that the same blood that led the Old Testament saints to the Messiah was the same blood that led me to Jesus being the Messiah? There's lots of things that I've learned since I came here. And every one of them glorifies God and puts me down. You say, well, you just like to be put out. No, I don't. It was a very painful experience. But when it finally happens to you, and you realize you owe God everything, and He owes you nothing, and you learn that to want to have a thing punched through your ear and be His servant, bond servant forever. Man, that's the greatest thing that can ever happen to a human being. And there are just lots of things I've learned. And I've learned them from people that have joined the church, like Chuck and his dad and others. I used to think I knew a lot. But I'm like a broken horse now. To fail to believe the testimony of the Holy Spirit is to speak injuriously of Him. Those who do not receive the Spirit's testimony that Jesus Christ is the Son of God do not have the Spirit living in them, only darkness. Well, darkness is the absence of light. God's plan is a plan of grace. But grace is repenting toward God and putting your faith in His Son. It's called humbling yourself before Jesus, God, in the truth. In Romans 8, 15, 16, but ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father, Father. That's what that says. Father, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm not lying to you. He bears witness to me. Every time I have a wayward thought, I can't find relief until I confess it to the Lord that I understand it and ask Him to forgive me. And I know He does. And I realize that I have His light in me, because I couldn't recognize the truth or the way unless He was in me. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm sitting here telling you right now, the Spirit bears witness inside me, to me, that I'm His. And that He took on the form of a man. And He was that man. And He was God. And is God. And always shall be God. And He took on Himself the form of a man. The lost can commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. The saved cannot. If a lost man or woman will not receive the testimony of the Holy Spirit, Terry, I don't know if I can get this thing open.
That's it. I've turned it already.
Did you draw those pictures? In his or her heart, be not afraid to kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. There are different kinds of fear. There's a reverential fear. And there's a fear that is violent, horrible, and leads you to Christ. Because I didn't like the idea of being cast into hell, but I didn't understand enough of it. Yea, I say unto you, fear him.
Teddy, this is the third page.
Well,
you're on the third page now. Here.
I don't have a third page.
I don't know if that's Candy's fault. She did that.
Blaming poor old Candy. Thanks for pointing out my error to the whole church.
No, I already turned it. Just start at the top. Yes, you got it.
I don't like your look. In his or her heart, and vehemently publicly denies Jesus is not God's son when convicted by the Spirit, he is. And in blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. The reason Jesus had to go on back was because that's why the first, many of the members of the first church, not the first church, but the first appearing in Jerusalem, who were Old Testament saints, that's why they were saved at that time. I've said many times, nobody was really ever saved except the seed himself, who was God. And he is our salvation and our light that lives within us. And he went back. He's been saving souls ever since. And those souls that you saw saved were saved in the New Testament times when Jesus, after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, not before. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow, Sunday. And the high priest arose and said unto him, now here's a man that's as lost as a goose, but is looked upon as being one of the most highly thought of religious men in all of Israel. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses witness against thee? And the high priest arose and said unto Jesus, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses protest against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, and this is what Jesus said in answer to this question, I adjure thee then by the living God. The living God was standing right there in front of him. That thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Christos, the anointed one, the one with all those names, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, and he said, yes. How did he do that? Thou hast said. That's the expression the Hebrews used when somebody asked him a question. If they say, thou hast said, he said, you're right. Nevertheless, I saith unto thee, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. And the high priest will see that. And it'll be at the... Well, I'll talk about that tomorrow or Sunday. On the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. He claimed to be God. What further need have thee of witness? Behold, now he have heard his blasphemy. What think you? What think ye, plural? Matthew 26, 72-75. And again he denied with an oath. Peter said, I know not the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood thereby and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. This man is in heaven today. He came out after Jesus was resurrected. And he cursed and he swore. And he said, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I can't imagine how he felt. But I'm a hypocrite. Peter learned he was a hypocrite. They all learned that Jesus was the overcomer in them, and he overcame for them. It took a long time, but they did. The Bible says, study to show thyself unto approved of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Correctly interpreting the word of God. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Nothing can separate a child of God from the love that is in Christ Jesus. That's exactly what Paul was talking about when he was describing about the two that said the rapture was past already. They apparently got the idea that those Old Testament saints, I said apparently, that those Old Testament saints were part of the local church. They were a local assembly. And this is a church of the firstborn. And in addition to that, the Bible indicates in Hebrews that he adds another group. He said, and the Spirit, he names the church as an ecclesia. He calls the assembly ecclesia in the Old Testament, but he's talking about an assembly. That's what the church is. It's a local visible assembly. And it's supposed to be full of light. A lot of people don't want to be full of light. And you can pound them and say things and just really think, well, that should make them understand. I cut that out a while back. I just, you know, it's just there, and I'm going to tell all I know about the church and all I know about the Lord. And then I'm just going to let the Lord decide what to do about them. But I know there comes a time when we have to do something. Nothing can separate a child of God from the love that is in Christ Jesus. He fulfilled the three offices. He fulfilled the three offices of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And I'm mighty glad he did. And I'm mighty thankful for the blessings God has bestowed upon me, upon this church, and upon the ones that assemble here, upon my own family and my own children. I'm very thankful to God for that. And when I stop and realize it was all by grace, but until you repented toward God and put your faith in the Son, it didn't, you didn't learn much until you got baptized scripturally. And so your baptism had nothing to do with your salvation, but it was something that you didn't learn very much about it till after you got saved. Oh.